Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, so you're in the car on the way home from church with your spouse, and you just had a deep move of God. You felt nudged in the spirit in a certain direction, and you want to talk to your spouse about that. Or maybe on the flip side, you didn't fully understand something in the sermon, or you had a different perspective than what was shared in the sermon, and you don't know how to share that with your spouse. We've all been in these car convos on the way home from church, not knowing exactly how to say what you want to say or whether you even want to open up to your spouse about what you heard at church.
Or maybe you haven't been in a conversation like this in your car, but you want to be.
There you go.
Not everybody is very open with what they're experiencing spiritually or even emotionally.
Right.
Some people are very closed. So today we want to address this conversation and first of all, why would it benefit people to open up, to talk about what's happening inside of them, and how to do it?
Yeah, we're going to give you some stems and some sample questions to ask your spouse to get the conversation going. Mm-hmm. And then when there's tension or somebody disagrees and then there's defensiveness going on, mm-hmm. how to kind of dissolve that tension and actually move forward with a plan.
Yes. So here we go. Let's launch. And by the way, we're assuming too that this is a healthy church.
Yeah.
That when you look around, God is moving, things are happening. We're not talking about dysfunction in the church. We're not talking about big problems. That's probably for a different podcast or someone else to talk about.
Well, and those are all so individualized that really you need guidance, counsel, mentorship around that if there's spiritual abuse or something happening in your church that isn't in a healthy, thriving church.
Right, right. So let's talk about having the conversation. And by the way, too, for those who are listening, a lot of these principles that we're going to talk about can be applied to situations maybe where, okay, here's a situation, like I have a problem with going to her family. Her family's house or get together. And I wanted to bring this up for her. This is a hard conversation. So
let's make it realistic. You have a problem with how my family wants to go to Disneyland.
Yes. Because I am not a theme park person.
So how do you bring it up? So I guess the parallel here is that there's sensitivity and tension and natural defensiveness when it comes to family of origin conversations, just like there's sensitivity, tension, and natural defensiveness when it comes to conversations around the church or spirituality in general.
Right. So why even broach these topics? One of the first things that came to mind when we were thinking about this subject is what we call positive reassurance. Mm-hmm. And there is something so healing, so helpful, so building, constructive in sharing what's happening that is good spiritually mm-hmm. in your life with your spouse. So when I'm sharing with my spouse, here's, how God is touching me or moving in me, or this is what he's saying, or this is what I'm reading, it builds confidence mm-hmm. in her about where I am. It's not about Krissa being a worry wart or, insecure with my spirituality, but it really does bring a sense of safety.
Yeah.
With Krissa when I share, hey, this is what's happening, and confidence going into the future. And it's such a beneficial thing, and it really could cause some positive synergy.
Yeah. And just to contrast that with negative reinforcement. So for instance, when we're doing porn recovery with folks, we discourage the negative reinforcement where they're saying, I promise I'm not looking at porn. I promise I'm not doing that. That's negative reinforcement. It's not reassuring, actually. It's negative reassurance, but it's not actually reassuring to the spouse. So instead of that, we encourage you to do positive reinforcement, which is, here's how I'm becoming the person that would never do that again. Now, this applies outside of porn recovery as well. When you can do positive reassurance with your spouse around spiritual topics, here's what I'm reading, here's what God spoke to me, here's what I got out of that sermon, then that's positive reassurance to your spouse that you're solid, you're safe, you're not going anywhere.
And why would that matter?
I think a fear that anyone has is, you know, maybe especially in the beginning of their marriage, like, are we always going to see eye to eye on the big stuff? There might be small differences spiritually speaking on the little stuff, but are we going to see eye to eye on the big stuff? Yeah. Because if God's calling us to do big stuff, we need to be equally yoked. We need to be two that are putting 10,000 to flight, not one putting 1,000 to flight.
Yeah. It's rare that people come from the exact same church and get married.
Even if they do,
they still have different ways of seeing that same church.
Right. Because of family of origin, right, and upbringing.
So there would be a deep fear, like Chris has said, associated with, you know, are you going to stick to this?
Mm-hmm.
Did I invest in something that's going to turn out to be a bad investment?
Yeah.
Or more difficult investment. So bringing this conversation up or having good conversations around your spirituality could put some of those fears to rest. Or at least make those fears just kind of back up a little bit.
Right. Yeah. So let's start off with how to start those conversations when you're in the car on the way home from church, or even when you're at home and you want to talk about, you know, something you observed or something you felt or heard at church. And this obviously is not just at church, but this could be something you read or something you felt in prayer at home. So we wrote down a few for you. One would be, babe, God really spoke to me when pastor said blank. So you pull out a specific, you're not referencing the whole sermon in general, but you're pulling out a specific phrase or point or illustration. And you're saying, God really spoke to me when the preacher or pastor said blank. So you're making it specific, and then you're inviting that conversation with your spouse as well.
Mm-hmm.
Another one is, wow, I feel so blank right now after that service. And then give an example as to why. So you're right there focusing on emotional intelligence. You know, mm-hmm, what impact is this having on you emotionally because of the spiritual move that just took place? Remember, we're holistic beings, body, mm-hmm, mind, and spirit. So talk about how this is impacting you, mm-hmm, emotionally or maybe even physically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot of people that are not very fabulous at reflecting.
Yeah.
And normally that just means like, how did this thing impact you? So let me speak. A lot of men, I don't know, good percentage of men, back up and say that. A good percentage of men aren't very skilled at reflecting.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like, that's what it is, and we're moving on.
Right.
So what Chris is giving here with these little stems are just ways of kind of reflecting at, oh, this is what happened. This is how I feel about that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now the next kind of things are, I would say people are fairly good at doing that.
Just depends. There's a couple more on the positive side.
Okay, so go ahead. Let's get to those.
And then we'll move to the negative side, like if you had a negative experience, but for a few more on the positive experience. So another one is, man, I have to tell you what blank said while I was praying. So like maybe you were praying and someone spoke something to you in prayer that just landed or resonated. You felt the Holy Ghost. They were anointed and they were praying over you or with you. And you want to share that. So you could start with, I have to tell you about, mm-hmm, or I want to tell you about. There's excitement there. That's good. And then another one, and I like this one a lot. I gained so much clarity today about blank. So whether that was when pastor was preaching or in prayer or in a devotional that you're reading, but starting a conversation with your spouse using those words, I gained so much clarity today about, can be a good introduction to the conversation.
Right. Now, toward the end of this conversation that we're having right now, we'll give a kind of some insight in what will make this part work.
Mm-hmm.
This part is where we want to go. This is a healthy way of discussing what's happening.
Right.
Now, in a perfect world, that's where we'd stay. But we don't always have these great things to say, do we?
Right. We have, we live in a fallen world and we're human. Even when we're in a church with spiritually minded people, even in a thriving, healthy church, we're human. And so, you are not going to see eye to eye with everything that is said in church or everything you see in church. Or maybe even something you read or hear on our podcast, right? That you're like, I don't really agree with that. Yeah. How do you express a difference of opinion and share that and have healthy conversation around that with your spouse?
Right. So now we're going to kind of flip into the negative aspect of sharing negative emotions. And full disclosure, like I remember going through a time of my life where I was skeptical. I would say, or critical. I was just critical. I had a critical spirit, but I was also going through a very critical time of my life. So let me explain. So I did go through a time of questioning whether God existed and was he a good God and who was God, who is God, those things were settled,
mm-hmm.
After a lot of searching and reading and studying. And then I went to, a secular college and study philosophy. So my whole day, I mean, all of my studies had to do with philosophy and thinking and how to think about thinking. And
critical thought.
Critical thought. Mm-hmm. So I became critical.
Mm-hmm.
And so everything, I remember my mind was shifting at that point. It really did. I can mark the time. And everything was going through a critical filter. So not everything that was done in our conversations, in the conversations with friends and church, made it through that critical filter of like, oh, that was a fallacy. This did not, this is a modus ponens. Like that did not follow, you know? So, and Chris said, like that syllogism was not right. And Chris, I remember Chris would be like, Adam, it is not a philosophy class. Stop it. You're getting me frustrated.
Yeah. And so we're going to talk about how not to approach the conversation.
Yes. And so, you know, my spirit could have been better. Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm leading to. Sometimes we have to realize your spirit could be just kind of going through a dip right there.
Right.
If you're feeling super negative. Now, there are some times where you have a very good... There's a good reason for your negativity.
Sure. And so sometimes it's that you just have a critical spirit and that is a spiritual issue to work through. But sometimes you could be in a really good place spiritually and something's just distracting at church.
Yeah.
Or in something you're reading. And so it doesn't sit with you or land with you well. For instance, so just full disclosure for me, like I could be totally... totally genuine about wanting to get content out of a sermon. And a couple things could distract me from that. One being our children. So like it could be an incredible sermon and I just couldn't connect as much because our children were so distracting, mm-hmm. right?
Because you missed the whole intro.
Well, yeah, actually missed it because I was out with them going potty or, you know, some other reason while I was having
crawling
to correct
into the pew or something.
But another one is like, if I'm hearing the constant in breaths from the preacher, like the, in the mic, I find it truly hard to not get distracted by that and to focus. And it's not a critical spirit issue. It's just like, man, and I want to be able to reflect on that with Adam. And not in a critical way, but just in a, man, like a reflective way. That was hard for me to stay focused tonight. Like, I really like what he said about this, but I was having a hard time pulling it all together,
mm-hmm.
you know? So it's okay to reflect on those things with your spouse. And it's better that you communicate with those things, about those things with your spouse, rather than letting it stir in you and never getting it out. Mm-hmm. And then just starting to truly develop a critical spirit or to start really like not enjoying your experience at church because of that, because of not sharing it and reflecting.
Yeah. Because I found that oftentimes my reflecting with Carissa helped identify, am I truly being you know, am I truly being critical for just being critical sake? Do I have a bad spirit about it? Or, you know, how do we need to change the way we look at this to let this set better? Or, you know, we could come up with solutions. We could, but just talking about it, airing it out helps so much. Just because I don't think we're supposed to hold in hard emotions.
Right.
I don't think those set very well.
Well, you see biblical examples of that, like Jeremiah, you know, he was a prophet and his prophecies didn't come true in his lifetime. And he spoke openly with God in prayer about his, you know, groanings and his beef with that, with his beef with God. Really, he cursed the day he was born because he's like, God, are you just wanting to be me to be a fraud here? Like, and, but he, God continued to use him.
Right.
So simply talking about your grief on a certain thing, as long as your spirit is not critical, it's not a sin to do that. And it's actually healthier to voice that with your spouse than to let it just fester inside.
Right. Just watch where you do that. Sometimes people are not going to benefit from overhearing that.
Right.
Because they might not be spiritually mature enough to understand what's happening.
Right. So here are a couple stems and questions that you can use if there was a negative experience that you want to share with your spouse. So you're in the car on the way home from church and you didn't fully understand what was, you know, said at church, or you have a different perspective. So here's what you could say to open that conversation. What came up for you when the preacher said blank?
Yeah. Another one that's a really good stem would be, I'd love to hear your perspective on blank.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like, I could have felt that like incongruity of what was said or something that happened. Maybe I can just leave it out there and see if she saw that, or I want to open a conversation around that thing just to get it. Like sometimes it's the elephant in the room.
Right.
Right. So it's just kind of getting it out there.
Yep. And then another one would be, I had a hard time with blank because blank. What about you? So this is the opposite of the last two, where you're actually stating your position first and then asking for their position versus just opening it up and asking for their position. Either one is fine. So I had a hard time with blank because blank. What about you? Another one would be, it could just be me being moody or off, but I want to share something that was hard for me tonight.
Yeah, I think both of us do this one pretty well, but it's a soft start up into talking about it.
Right.
And it's so helpful just to have that that kind of awareness of like, hey, you know, they might be off, but yeah, let me listen to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're prefacing with a kind of a disclaimer.
It's exactly it.
Yeah. So it's helpful to know like, yeah, they're acknowledging that they might just be off or moody. So I'll be attentive and listen, which actually brings us to the next section here, how we're going to close this up, is how to create that safe space so that your spouse will open up.
Yeah.
You know, and think about it. If you are the spouse who says, I really wish we had more conversations about our spiritual walk or about the sermon or about applying the sermon in our lives.
Yes.
If you're that spouse, you are essentially with these stems inviting your spouse to the table to eat dinner with you. Imagine if you were to just start throwing food at your spouse.
Have a seat.
As soon as they come up to the table. Like that would be really disheartening for them. You're going to shut them down.
Right. So after three times of them sitting down, and then me picking up food and throwing it at them right as they sat down, they're going to stand at the table and stand at the chair and be like, you know what? I'm not going to sit down this time
because
I got food thrown at me.
Mm-hmm. So don't shut them down. That's key number one with creating this safe space. If you want your spouse to open up about spiritual things, make it safe for them. So how do we do that? Try not to use why questions. That's a first tip here. So a why question can feel like you're interrogating them or that they're crazy for thinking that. So you don't just be like, why do you think that? Like, why would you say that? That's the equivalent of throwing food at them.
Yeah. What we're trying to do is create a safe space. If you want to have good conversations, it has to be safe.
Mm-hmm.
It's like one of the first rules of attachment. So if I'm trying to create a safe place, I don't react. I don't get overly protective. I don't get aggressive. I allow them to give their perspective, mm-hmm. and I try to empathize with their position before I come in with my own, even if it's conflicting.
Yeah.
And this is something we have to work on because both Chris and I are fairly like opinionated people. So we do have to temper that with that grace and slowness. Just it's needed. It's necessary.
Yeah. The next one would be, don't tell them that they're wrong. Even if you disagree with them, entertain the conversation and try to help each other win as a team. Like, let's find the winning position here as a team. Let's right. It's the pursuit of truth. So don't just come out the gate and tell them that they're wrong.
Right. Well, if you are consistently telling the other person that they're wrong and they accept that, then you have to be aware that you're now married to a loser, right? Which is not fun. And they don't like being a loser. So how can we curate a conversation that's less about me being right, you're being wrong, and like more around the ideal of mutual understanding?
Yeah.
So if you could get to that, that is where great communication is done.
Also, remember that sometimes your spouse just saying the things that are going on in their mind out loud takes the steam out of it. It takes the edge off of it. And it might just come down to like a difference in style or preference, not like a spiritual issue. Like the example I gave about, you know, the breath in, like for some people could make them like just so much more amped up and excited and ready to receive the sermon. Like, for me, it's a distraction. It just depends on style and preference sometimes. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean that, you know, you start picking and choosing which services you're going to go to. By all means, like get into church. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. But it's good to have these reflections with your spouse.
Right. I've seen when people, it does bother them, but they don't feel comfortable of expressing it. And they're trying to hold it in, and you could see it's eating them alive.
Yeah.
Right. So just sometimes being a safe space to hold it with your spouse, and we're saying with your spouse, it's, I don't think it'd always be helpful to spew a whole bunch of stuff about what you didn't like in front of your family or
no.
friends. Like, we're not trying yeah. to change people's mind here. We're not trying to. Most likely, we're not going to change what happened at church. But oftentimes we're just trying to understand what's happening inside of me.
That's right.
And what's happening inside of her, mm-hmm. and trying to understand that together. And then maybe apply scripture to it. Or how can yeah. we, what is God trying to teach us through this? Maybe he's teaching you patience.
Yeah.
You know, maybe the fruit of the Spirit are trying to be born in your life. And oftentimes that's not a super comfortable process. Mm-hmm. So, what we're just trying to do is like, let's talk about this stuff and not shut down in front of each other and create a safe space to talk about these things so that we can become more whole.
Yeah. And a rule of thumb with regards to what Adam was just saying, you know, talking in front of other people, whether that be friends or extended family or kids, the rule of thumb is you don't, you know, you just talk between you and your spouse and a pastor or mentor sometimes if needed. But you're not talking about this in front of, you know, children who don't have a developed prefrontal cortex, who aren't able to understand and reason with the way that you guys are reasoning. That might just plant a seed of mistrust in them against leadership or ministry. And that's not what you want to do. So you don't have these types of conversations in front of kids. And then with friends, that can just turn into, again, a critical, you know, fest. So yeah. we don't recommend that either. It's you and your spouse. And then sometimes, if necessary, and we'll talk about planning, but if the plan indicates for this, you can talk about it with a trusted mentor, yep. counselor, pastor.
Yep. That's definitely what I would have said too. Like, if both of you are really in a bad place or a difficult place yeah. at that time, go to a mentor, mm-hmm. talk about this with them. Or your pastor, go straight to your pastor.
Yeah.
And remember, we're not just talking about the pulpit here, but
right.
we're talking about lots of different aspects. And remember, this can be really applied to family too.
Yeah. And so the last section here is just make a plan together. Don't let this concern, or even on the positive note, this reflection about what God's doing in your life, just sit there. Make a plan and take action together. So a plan could be something like, hey, let's read further into the passage that, you know, pastor preached on today, and let's study that together. That could be a plan. That's something we're doing right now. Our pastor actually assigned it to everybody, but you know, we're reading through Philippians 2 several times right now because pastor's going to be preaching on it on Tuesday. And he said, I want everyone to read about it. So that's what we're doing, but it may not be an assignment from your pastor. It could just be, hey, let's, you know, take a couple notes from the sermon and do some research on what that word means. So that could be an action plan. Pray about this. Sometimes it is a really spiritual issue that, you know, you need to get that critical spirit worked out in you. Is it coming from, are you triggered from something in childhood that happened, church hurt that happened? You know, something that you need to process through in order to actually get into a place where you can receive from your trusted leadership now.
Yeah. Or trustworthy leadership. Yeah. It's going to be very difficult if you haven't processed that through to trust someone that is trustworthy. The last thing I would maybe talk about is understand your tendencies. Understand you, know thyself. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, Sunday could be, you know, the first day off for you. You've been working all day and you're just grumpy. And you're going to church and now you're dealing with the kids and you're grumpy, you know? Yeah. And know yourself. Do you typically feel this way, or, you know, give it an hour and you feel a lot better about it, or reflecting on it, like start to know your patterns.
Right.
And then talk about those patterns. Mm-hmm. We spot patterns in each other and talk about those patterns. And then once we have a pattern established, we could say, okay, well, how do we approach this? Mm-hmm. How do we get better at going to church and having a good Sunday? Mm-hmm. Because we want to hear what God has to say to us. We consistently talk to people that do have difficulty sometimes going to church because of, for myriad reasons, right? Mm-hmm. Broken trust or different things. And so we have to be able to talk about these things to establish patterns, then to establish a plan for what's going to happen when we do get in the car.
Yes.
How to break that silence. So I hope this gives you some ideas, some stems, and opens some conversations with your spouse.
We also want to invite you to monthly live date night in July. Ooh. It's a special date night. It's going to be a live interview with Pastor Jason Carr. He's a pastor in Texas and also a marriage and family therapist. The topic is how not to burn out. This is specifically designed for couples in leadership or ministry, but anyone can attend. And we're going to be asking you guys to submit your questions for that. And then we'll give him those questions live during the interview at Monthly Live Date Night.
This is a thing that's very rampant in any sort of leadership position, burning out because you have so much responsibility. So tune in. It's going to be awesome.
We'll put the date and details in the show notes, but do note that it is a different time than usual. We're going to do it at 5 p.m. Central Time, which is 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern. Usually we do it at 5 p.m. Pacific, so just take note of the special time difference. We're going to be at a conference there in Houston, and so it just makes sense to do it at 5 p.m. Central, and you want to be there. You don't want to miss this, so make sure to mark your calendars. You'll see the dates and details in the show notes.